It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Let's talk a little bit about the AFC playoff picture, because with Monday Night Football, it is just the Dolphins, and I don't think that anyone thinks that the Dolphins are making the postseason. And also, Thursday Night Football is two NFC teams. So this is a good time, in my opinion, to reset and take a closer look at the standings in the AFC. So Kansas City is undefeated. Buffalo would be the 2 seed. Pittsburgh is the 3 seed. Houston is the 4 seed. Those are your 4 division leaders as we currently sit. Baltimore would be the 5 seed. The Chargers would be the 6 seed. And the Broncos are the 7 seed. I will tell you guys this. My biggest takeaway from Chiefs and Broncos, other than the Chiefs are inevitable, and ultimately, the Chiefs are just going to do more than you at some point. I can never explain it. I don't know how they do this every single week, but eventually when that clock strikes 0, the Chiefs are just going to have more points than you are. I'm convinced. But my biggest takeaway outside of that is just, hey man, the Broncos are actually kind of good. The Broncos do, I would say, a lot of the things that winning teams do. I think they're well coached. I think they're quarterback capable. They can run the football. They got a pretty decent offensive line. Their defense is good, and they've got some okay weapons around your quarterback. That's a team that I feel pretty comfortable saying that is going to win 9, maybe 10 games and make the playoffs. So let's go through the AFC playoff picture. I just gave you the teams. Is it safe to say that there are 5 locks in the AFC playoffs? Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Ravens, and Texans. I was wrong about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are going to make the postseason. Russell Wilson has been good. He has been an upgrade for them. They are a pretty complete team. I'm not convinced that they can win the Super Bowl, but Pittsburgh is a good team and one team that needs to be taken seriously. So I'm going to put Pittsburgh in the, all right, they're making the postseason category. Mike Tomlin, that team, they are not blowing this league that they have built in either the division or the wild card picture. So let's go ahead and move them over. I know that the Texans have maybe fallen out of grace a little bit, and I don't look at them as being a Super Bowl contending team anymore. But if you're not picking them in that division, you got to tell me who you are picking in that division, because you're picking Jacksonville, you're picking Indy. I don't know who you would pick. So it's kind of by process of elimination. All right, Houston is going to go to the next level. All right, that's 5 spots. There's 7 that have to make it. There's only, I would say, 4 possible teams to argue for those 2 spots. It's the Broncos, Chargers, Bengals, and the Colts. Now, you guys know where I sit on the Cincinnati Bengals. They are 13-12 in their last 25 games against teams that are not Kansas City. I don't trust Cincinnati enough to turn things around and be consistent and do the little things that you need to do to end up being a playoff team. They're 4-6 right now. You're going to have to get to 9. Do I think that the Bengals have a 5-2 stretch down the rest of the way? I don't think that. I also don't think that about the Indianapolis Colts as well. The Colts have to go 4-6, same as the Cincinnati Bengals. They got a 5-2 stretch in them down the stretch. I don't see that from the Indianapolis Colts either. I think ultimately we're going to look at this AFC picture as being pretty anticlimactic. That's not the case in the NFC. The NFC playoff picture is pretty exciting. As of now, San Francisco wouldn't be in the postseason, and they're 5-4. The Rams, there's a lot of good teams in the NFC. There's not a lot of good teams in the AFC. I think this is going to be a pretty boring and snooze fest playoff race down the stretch in the AFC, because the middle is just so soft. If you're telling me that I got to hold out hope for Cincinnati and Indianapolis to catch up to Denver, I think the Chargers are a non-starter. The Chargers are making the postseason. They're 6-3 right now. They are not dropping, to me, enough out of the stretch where they're not going to be a playoff team. So ultimately, we really might be talking about 3 teams for 1 spot, between Denver, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati. The Jets are not getting back into it. The Patriots are not getting back into it. I don't believe Miami is getting back into it. And these other four teams, I'm not even going to waste your time and mention them because they're getting ready for the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Why are we talking about Cleveland and the postseason? So ultimately, I think the lesson in all of this is the dust kind of settles in the AFC. There are really three teams fighting for one spot in the final 7-8 weeks of the season. I think we already know that as we are heading closer to Thanksgiving.
I am not a Dolphins person, but I have a question for you. Do you believe the Dolphins will win the Niners back in it? Because the Dolphins, Tua is healthy again. They looked better last weekend against the Bills on the road, a place they literally never win. Tyreek Hill is a game-time decision tonight. Like, a lot of their badness start the season is because their quarterback was a third and fourth string guy. At one point, Tyler Huntley started a game for them, and they had signed him on Tuesday. Like, that, they just don't have a quarterback. If Tua can stay healthy rest of the season, which major if, do you believe the Dolphins can enter that fray? Because I continue to hammer this stat, and it's a credit to you because you found it. Every single year since the expanded playoffs, at the halfway mark, a team that is sub 500 ends up making the postseason. It happens every year. So the Dolphins would fall into that sub 500 category, but as a team that could feasibly get hot down the stretch because they have their quarterback again. If they can beat the Rams tonight, your beloved Rams, do you think they could re-enter that, hey, group of four racing for one spot category?
Yeah, I don't feel that way about the Miami Dolphins. I think we know, and I think we're kind of expecting something to shake up in the AFC, and I just don't see it there. Like, I would push back on the text line a little bit here, 913-586-7965. C-Dot, it's hard to say that the Steelers will make the playoffs considering the difficulty of their division. They can legitimately go 0-4 against the Ravens and the Bengals. I just don't know what we know about the Steelers in any amount of time of watching them play football to think that they're going to go 0-4 during any stretch of important games. The Steelers have never done that in our entire lives. Now I think they're going to do it. So again, I'm not here telling you that I think the Steelers are some juggernaut best team. They're currently sit at 7-2, and we think that 9-8 is probably going to be the floor of what you're going to need to be the 7 seed. You're telling me down the stretch you don't see two or three more wins on that Steelers schedule? I'm sorry. They probably split with Baltimore. They certainly win a game against Cleveland or so, and this is a good enough, well-coached team. They will find, to me, 2 to 4 more wins at some point over the course of their season. So to me, Pittsburgh is starting to enter the conversation of non-negotiable. Pittsburgh, we should maybe start talking about as them being closer to Buffalo than we should in being closer to Miami and the kind of team they're going to be. Someone else said the Chargers next six are tough, and they're still the Chargers, even with the competent head coach. I'm not sure if that's the case. This is kind of one of those things. We know 7 teams have to make it. You got to tell me who the 7 teams are. And I think we also have to acknowledge that whoever that 6 or 7 team is going to be in the AFC is just going to be drastically flawed. Like, if you expand the playoffs, by definition, you are watering down the postseason. You're going to let in a team that 5 years ago, that team would not have made the postseason. So that team is probably going to be the Broncos. But I'm looking at this Chargers team. They're 6-3. They've been pretty good, and I would say pretty consistent this season. This Chargers team deserves a degree of respect. Not a lot of respect, but they deserve a degree of respect that I think they're going to win at least 9 games this year, and they're going to end up doing it. Their defense has been pretty good. They've been pretty consistent this season. I mean, the last time that the Chargers gave up more than 21 points this year was, they haven't. They've not allowed a team to score more than 21 points against them this year. Now, that will probably happen at some point, and they play the Bengals and they play the Ravens coming up in back-to-back games. So maybe that is going to change this weekend, but I would give the Chargers a measure of respect here, at least as of right now. They have been, and it sounds crazy to say, the Chargers have been one of the more consistent teams in a conference in which, outside of those big 5 teams that I just named, there hasn't really been a lot of consistency. The Chargers are definitely the best team out of this second group. Out of the Broncos, Colts, Bengals, Jets, out of that group, the Chargers have been better than all of those teams, and I don't really think it's arguable otherwise.
I mean, I push back at the notion of the text line that they're still the Chargers. They have a coach that is going to eliminate a lot of the chargering. Like, if not all the Charger ring. Anthony Lynn is not that kind of guy. Brandon Staley, honestly, seems like he's a net negative now looking back at it. I'm not saying the Chargers are world beaters in year one or it's Super Bowl or bust or Chiefs fans should be worried because the AFC West has the best, biggest competitor. But a lot of the chargering we talk about is disappearing because Jim Harbaugh is a good football coach. And listen, we talk about the Chiefs doing it in a non-aesthetically pleasing way. The Chargers play some ugly football. They're playing like it's 1997 out there, but it's because they have no weaponry and it's working. They're 6-3, and yeah, their next six are tough, but even if they go 2-4 in that stretch, you're looking at an 8-win team. You're 8-7 with two to go. You're probably a playoff team in the AFC because I think the Colts are going to get worse with time, and I think everyone else is going to just fall off. So, yeah, the Chargers feel like an absolute lock to me at this point. They don't feel like part of that group that's battling for two spots.
I understand that the schedules are different and that the Chiefs are playing a first-place schedule and the Chargers are not playing a first-place schedule, so I understand that throws the math off a little bit. The Chargers have allowed the fewest points in the AFC. We were talking about the Bengals last week and how the Bengals have allowed the most points in the AFC. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at it right now. Did you know that? So the Chargers, through nine games, the Chargers have allowed 118 points. The Bengals have allowed 262 points. We all think Kansas City's defense is pretty good. The Chiefs have allowed almost 50 points more than the Chargers have given up this season, even though they have played the same amount of games. So I'm not here telling you that the Chargers are going to be some Super Bowl contending team, but I do think the Chargers have a really good defense, and we know they have a good quarterback, and they have an improved coach. I think the Chargers are going to end up making the postseason, and again, I think we're really arguing that there's only probably one open spot left in the AFC, and that conversation is going to be between Denver, Cincinnati, and the Colts. I don't really see any other team in the AFC getting themselves into the mix. Speaking of the Broncos, coming up on the other side, Rob, let's go through some heartbroken tweets from the Denver Broncos as they lost the tough one yesterday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, this is what we're going to do. This is going to be a lot of anti-Broncos sentiment in this segment. It makes me happy. Hopefully, it makes you happy. And let's have a good 3 o'clock hour. Mitch Holthus will be on the show coming up in about 40 minutes. I gave Rob one responsibility today. That's it. One responsibility. I said, bring me Broncos pain. I don't need any help developing topics. I don't need you spending any time trying to track down any guests. Mitch Holthus is all we need on today's show. I need you to bring me Broncos pain. I need you to bring me Broncos disappointment. I need you to bring me things like this.
Will Lutz backs up, takes two steps to the side, says he's ready. An attempt of 35 yards for the win. Snap, placement, kick. On the way, it is blocked. I don't even know what to say.
There's none you can't say. What can you say? You lose. It's time to throw it to commercial. I don't know what to say. I would say the final score, and I would thank our sponsors is what I would do after that game. It's time to go home. That's what it is. So I told Rob today I didn't need any guests. I didn't need any help with anything. Bring me Broncos pain is what I told him we needed. So Rob sent me a Broncos Facebook group. It's called Broncos County. You know, it's just a place that Broncos fans, they come together to celebrate mediocrity. I want to read you some of the comments on the post of the final score, and let's go through them together. Rob, can you hit me with a little bit of music? Do you want me to give you the voice for this, or just read them regular?
I mean, I think some deserve the voice. Let's work the voice in here and there.
This is from a gentleman. His name is Kyle Crawford. As a Denver Broncos fan, I'm not even mad. We played a great game, and in my opinion, we dominated most of it. We still have a long way to go, but it's looking up for sure. Next year, the AFC West will certainly be ours. This is from a man, his name's Anthony. This may have ended in a loss, but for us Broncos fans, it showed us that we can not only hang with the elite, but we can beat them as well. Luck was just on their side tonight, but we'll meet again, and they may not be so lucky next time against us. This is from Devin Rogers. If you watch the replay, that linebacker was way offsides. He launched, and he was already between our linemen before the ball was snapped, and the refs just ignored it. Typical Chiefs win. This is from a gentleman. His name is Tyler. Even if the Broncos had made it, the refs would have thrown some flag and come up with some bull crap just to give the Chiefs another chance. A lot of this is complaining about the officiating. This is from Timothy Eaton. The officials need to call a clean game and just not a one-sided one. Any team that plays against the Chiefs, they get questionable calls against them, which favors the Chiefs. The league needs to do something about this. Fans will think that each game is staged in favor of one team every game. All we ask is to officiate fairly. It's not much to ask for. All right, before we continue on with this, because I'm having fun. Hopefully you're having fun too. Turn the music off for me real quick, Rob, please. Excuse me. We'll get back to it. If you don't score a single point in the fourth and third quarter of the game, and your team doesn't execute on a 35-yard field goal, I don't want to hear about the officiating, bro. I really don't want to hear about the officiating. Certainly not from a penalty in the second quarter of the game. I don't want to hear it. The Broncos had chances to win this game. I don't know if people know this or not. I really don't know this. The game is 60 minutes. And I know this is crazy, but in order to beat the Chiefs, your team needs to play a full 60 minutes to be able to accomplish said goal. We've seen some teams outplay the Chiefs for 59 minutes and lose. If you are arguing that you think the Broncos played a little bit better than the Chiefs on Sunday, I'll give it to you. But last time I looked at the standings, and trust me, I look at the standings pretty regularly. It's kind of the job. There is a W column, there is an L column, and a T column. And what I've learned about football fans over the course of this Chiefs run is they want a MV category. They want a moral victory category. They want a we almost beat the Chiefs category. They want a well we tried category. You need to get 9 real tangible wins in order to make the postseason. You can't get 7 wins and then 3 almost wins and think that you can hand that off at the playoff store. No, that's not the way that it works. The Broncos had chances to win this game. They squandered them. The Broncos were up at halftime. They were up heading into the fourth quarter. Find a way to win. That's it. Find a way to win. The Broncos, first drive of the second half, 3 plays, 2 yards, punt. Second drive, 8 plays, 10 yards, punt. Next drive, 3 plays, minus 2 yards, punt. I don't want to hear about the officiating. I'm looking at it. Your 14 plays that you ran after halftime, you guys got 11 yards. Don't talk to me about the officiating and this being scripted. You guys should have scripted your offense a little bit better in the second half of the game. Execute a little bit better. You had the Chiefs on the ropes. You had them. You had a 3rd and 13 in the second in the fourth quarter of the game. DeAndre Hopkins got 31 yards. Get off the field. You had a 3rd and 3 later on in that same drive. Travis Kelce got a 6-yard completion. You know Travis Kelce ain't going way down the field. He stopped doing that 2 years ago. You know if they throw it to Travis, it's going to be a little 4-yard, little dink and dunk play. How is he wide open? I don't want to hear this. Oh, man, the officials. Oh, I don't want to. Oh, no, it's the officials. No, you wasn't good enough. Be better. Hit me with some music, Rob. I'm back. Let me get back to reading. I'm sorry, I had to take a little detour. We're reading from the Broncos Country Twitter account. Why are we not seeing different angles on the last field goal attempts? Was there an offsides? Something's fishy. The Denver Broncos should have won this game. They flat out outplayed the Kansas City Chiefs. The game was on the line. It wasn't a missed field goal, but a block. A block that shouldn't have happened due to poor officiating. It's a very tough loss that was stolen away from our Denver Broncos. This is Sean McDermott. I don't know how Sean McDermott was. He stopped coaching the Bills, and then he's got time to comment on Broncos fan pages. He's got a lot of free time. I called it in the final 30 seconds. The Chiefs are good, but they're the luckiest team we've ever seen. I just knew the refs were up to something. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate all your hard work today.
They're up to something.
The refs were up to something. We don't know what it was, but they were up to something.
As right now, this stuff is fake, bro. I am telling you guys right now, this stuff is fake, bro. This never happens. Never happens. It's fake. It's the Chiefs. It's scripted. I believe it 100%. Not joking. This shit is scripted, bro. This don't happen. It don't.
It do. It did. I'll play one more of this, and then we'll move on to very serious things. And I will tell you guys my one complaint from Sunday's win. I just have one complaint. Yeah, maybe two. I mean, let me be realistic. I try to be honest with you guys. I have maybe two complaints. So this is the Broncos streamer, Rob. He's a YouTuber. Oh, that's where they really be getting their frustration off. They really get their frustration off. They created a little studio in their basement, and they got all their Broncos stuff up, and they can just scream on the internet. Oh, they love getting mad on those things. All right, I have not heard any of this. I've not heard any of this. Rob put all this together. Thank Rob for all his hard work here. This is a Broncos streamer after the game. Rob put loses his mind after the field goal. Listen to this.
Lutz warming up on the sideline. Oh, my God, we're going to upset him. Assuming we can make this kick. Nothing is guaranteed. Please. Oh, God, please. Will Lutz, do not miss this kick. Will Lutz. Oh, I don't even know if I can watch it, guys. Come on, Will. 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 No! 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 They blocked it! They blocked the kick! Are you kidding me? Oh, what the? Oh, my God, no! Oh, I give up. I give up on this sport. What the f***? A blocked 35-yard field goal! Oh, my God, I am done with football.
That was a Broncos streamer as he was watching the Broncos lose live yesterday. All right. This is going to be the portion of the show that you guys think is negative, and that's okay. But there are things that happen in the game that I feel like we need to discuss, and we are not doing our job as a somewhat popular radio show if we're not talking about all the things that happened yesterday in the game. Yes, there was a lot of fun and things to laugh at. We also need to talk about some of the serious things. Let's start with number one. The Chiefs have a left tackle problem. Now, I don't think I'm telling you something that you don't know because you also watch the games. But this is the thing that's kind of surprising to me. This is the thing. The Chiefs at no, we all summer talked about there being a left tackle competition. And the Chiefs at almost every single turn told us that there wasn't a left tackle competition. Rob, how much time do you think we spent this offseason talking about the position battles and the depth on the roster and how the Chiefs were really going to have an open competition at left tackle between Wanye Morris and Kingsley Suamata'i and how this was going to be the big thing, the big storyline at camp? Well, Kingsley got all the snaps at every single turn. They avoided any form of competition at every turn. And then, like, 80 minutes into the NFL season, they finally realized, oh boy, this thing's not going good at all. Maybe we made the wrong decision and we should switch. So then they switched to Wanye Morris. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, hey, Kingsley, just a young guy. It's okay, all right, I get it. That makes sense. You know, he's young, second round pick out of BYU. All right, that's fine. Well, an injury happened yesterday. You know, Wanye was, you know, got hurt. Like, all right, let's see what Kingsley can do. You know, it's been a little bit of time, and, you know, he's been kind of sitting down for a little bit. Whatever happened to Kingsley Suamata'i? All right, they're going to put him out there. He was bad. Now, I don't got the Pro Football Focus numbers in front of me. I don't even know if they're out yet, but I'm telling you, I don't need the numbers to suggest that he was a negative for the Chiefs in Sunday's matchup. I'm confused at what they saw or what they missed or what they didn't see, because, I mean, he was their answer at left tackle, right? They spent a pretty significant resource to go get him, and at no point this offseason did they ever think to get any experience at left tackle. We all thought they were going to go grab Donovan Smith, right? There were certainly opportunities that you saw Kingsley play, you saw Kingsley practice, and you could have hedged your bets just a little bit. The same way you did it running back. They needed a running back when Clyde Edwards-Helaire went down for mental health reasons. They then brought in Samaje Perine. Even though they had Carson Steele, they spent more resources and time trying to replace Clyde Edwards-Helaire than they spent trying to replace Donovan Smith. It doesn't make any sense to me. They have a problem at left tackle. I don't know if I'm telling you guys something that you need to know or that you don't already know, but their left tackle situation is a little bit off. Let me tell you the other thing that appears to be just a little bit off. I'm not saying that Patrick doesn't need to shoulder any of the blame related to this topic, but it also becomes pretty clear. For whatever reason, Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy are not on the same page. We are now over the halfway point in the season. And I'm telling you, they don't appear to be any closer in being on the same page today than they appeared 2 months ago. This is a wide receiver that we kind of believe Pat had a little behind the scenes in working with them. You remember that Xavier Worthy went down to camp Patrick Mahomes and was staying with them and working out with them. They've been working out together for a while. Now, I told you guys that I'm going to be patient with Xavier Worthy, and I'm not calling him a bust. I'm not saying they drafted the wrong player, calling him a gadget player, any of those things. But we've also seen a lot of football, and we've also seen a lot of Patrick Mahomes, and I know what it's supposed to look like, and I know what it's not supposed to look like, and it's not supposed to look like that. When was the last time that you felt that Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy were on the same page?
Because that first play of the game, the first play that they ran together in the Ravens game where he was open by 50 yards. Okay. End of list.
Yeah. That was a long time. That was 2 months ago now. I'm saying is we've seen a lot of Mahomes. I've seen Mahomes throw it to a lot of different receivers. We could probably go through it. You've seen Patrick Mahomes probably at this point throw it to 30 different guys. You tell me in terms of just trust, confidence, being on the same page, communication, where you would put his current relationship with Xavier Worthy. Because it feels like it's very low on the list. They're not close, it appears, to being on the same page. That throw that Patrick Mahomes had on the right side where he kind of threw it out of bounds, I've seen Patrick make that throw to almost every receiver that they've had. And just it's always just a hair off. It feels like right now with Xavier Worthy. I don't know whose fault that is. I mean, last week they tried that deep pass on Monday Night Football, and Xavier Worthy stepped out of bounds. I mean, they are trying to get Xavier Worthy into the offense right now, and they just can't do it right now. They have really tried. It is not a lack of effort. It is not a lack of them being on the field. It's not a lack of targets. It is not any of those things. For whatever reason, where Patrick is and where Xavier Worthy is, they are on opposite sides of the aisle on this issue. I haven't seen much like it. I know, hey, second half, you saw what happened to Rashee Rice. It never felt like we were more arguing about the why don't you try to give Rashee Rice more chances. I'm not really arguing they should be throwing the ball more to Xavier Worthy at this point, not with what we've seen. So I know we're being positive today, and you guys hate this, and you just want 9-0, they're the best. Just talk about how they're the best. I'm not wired that way, not on this show. The two complaints I have from the game is they are bad at left tackle, and there's no way they didn't know they weren't bad at left tackle. They had to have seen it. It took some of you a half of watching Kingsley Suamata'ia to realize they were in trouble at left tackle. They had all offseason and didn't realize it. They should have brought Donovan Smith in 4 or 5 months ago as a break in case of emergency for what they had going on at left tackle. Hopefully Wanye is fine, because if Wanye is not fine, they got to figure something out at left tackle. That kid's not ready, not for what this team is trying to do. There's a heightened sense of urgency on this season because all that matters is you winning the Super Bowl. And that kid's not good enough right now. I'm sorry. He is the worst starter currently on their team. Now, I know it's by injuries, but think of the 22 people on their roster. He is the worst one on their team, and they had to have known. And right now with Xavier Worthy, I can't explain it. It does not look like him and Mahomes are on the same page. He's always looked like he's on the same page with Juju. He's always looked like he's on the same page with certain guys. It feels like the learning curve to get Xavier Worthy into this offense is certainly a lot steeper than we thought it was going to be.
I remember we talked about this, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, with Xavier Worthy. And the text line does the text line does. They called me a hater when I said, at this point, you should hope that he hits Mecole Hardman year one numbers. It looks like they are getting further and further from the same page as games go on. I mean, the game against the Bucks, that's a touchdown. I don't understand why he just faded out of bounds. And the game against the Broncos, I think that's on Mahomes. He's open. He just throws him out of bounds. But those two can't figure it out. And even there was a play on the far sideline in the third quarter. He just had a straight drop, hit him right in the hand. So I think as other receivers potentially come back into the fold, you know, Juju might be back soon. I know there's hope that Hollywood Brown could start practicing soon and then could be back soon. Like, if that happens, what is Xavier Worthy's role on this team? Because right now, he's not full-on Mr. Cardio, but he's more Mr. Cardio than he is anything else out there because Mahomes doesn't trust him, and I don't know that fans trust him right now. Like, he is not progressing the way I think Chiefs fans would want him to feel. And I know we talked about this, and the text line filled up with, maybe you guys don't remember, but Rashee Rice developed late. It would stun me if Xavier Worthy's development looks like Rashee Rice from last year. Absolutely stun me.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm at that point yet, and maybe I'm just being a little bit of an apologist for him, and I can certainly come to that point. I would say around this time is where you started to see Rashee Rice. He always had like a pretty decent floor. He could like 40 yards here, 50 yards here. Like there was a pretty decent floor. And then he just took that floor and elevated it. I mean, they've thrown it to Xavier Worthy 6 times in the last 2 games and they have 11 yards. He has 1 catch in their last 2 yards. If you're mentioning the catch that he had against the Chargers, yes, that was a big play. Since the Chargers game, so that was in the first month of the season. That was the 4th game of the year. Since then, the Chiefs have played in 5 games. Xavier Worthy has 11 catches for 92 yards. He is averaging 8 yards a catch. Xavier Worthy is supposed to be your home run hitter. He's supposed to be your big play guy. He has given you very little in the passing game in the last 6 weeks. He has also given you nothing in the run game. He is -2 yards since the Chargers game. So I hear you. He got off to an incredible start, and I'm not here trying to say that the young man is a bust. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying it is obvious that this offense needs a little bit of a jolt. Some of it is Patrick has to be more accurate down the field, no doubt. He appears to be on the same page with almost every receiver they have except one right now, and that receiver, to me, appears to be Xavier Worthy. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtis. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, is going to be on the show. Mitch had a tremendous call of the field goal yesterday. Let me play it for you.
35-yard attempt, well within his range. 18 of 20 this season. His left, so one of those misses, a 60-yarder to end the half. 35-yard attempt from the far hash. Dixon, the punter, will hold. Raboni is the long snapper. Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down. Lutz's kick is blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! The Chiefs blocked the kick! They're going to stay undefeated! The Kansas City Chiefs blocked a 35-yard field goal attempt! Kansas City wins this game on a blocked field goal!
You know the best analogy that I have, and I'm sure as men you've had this happen before. Rob, you're married now, so maybe this has happened to you in the last 30 days. You have not told me this, but I'm just going to guess that this has happened. I'm going to guess that one day you and your wife were having a conversation, and she was telling you how you don't pick up enough around the house. And you were probably arguing with her. Yes, I do. I pick up all the time. She's like, no, you don't. I wish you were a little bit better at this. You don't know what you're talking about. And then one day, Rob, she just kind of like left some stuff out for a while, and then she eventually just like showed you, see, this is all your stuff, you don't pick it up. And you kind of were sitting there like, oh man, you know what, you're right, maybe I can be a little bit better. I will say this, I think I understand why the rest of the league doesn't like the Chiefs. Like, you kind of got to understand too, right? Like, you guys know. Why do you hate John Elway? John Elway never did anything to you. You hate John Elway for one reason. I am not that old. I remember you guys used to feel this same way about Tom Brady. Oh, man, the rules are different. You can't hit Tom Brady. All the Patriots do, they cheat the league. You guys used to feel this way about all these other teams. You know how infuriating it has to be if you don't cheer for the Chiefs? Now, I know that you are in a position that you cheer for the Chiefs, but just think about it from the other perspective. Sometimes the calls are a little funny. We can be real. They're a little funny. I still don't know what the illegal contact. I don't even know who the illegal contact was on, to be completely honest with you about it. They called it. They didn't even show it again on the replay. I watched the all 22 of the. I don't know. I don't know. So, you know, some officiating stuff happens, but that happens around the league. And then you finally feel like you got them, you know? This fly has been buzzing around your house all day, just getting on your nerves, and it's finally sitting there on the counter. And you start moving slow, and then you grab a shoe or a fly swatter or something. You're finally about to kill this fly. And right when you get ready, and you swipe down, and it's that feeling of, oh, I finally got his ass. You're so happy. And then you look up and you realize that the fly, it flew away again at the end, and it's still buzzing around you, and you're just so mad. I'm telling you that Patrick Mahomes is that fly for the rest of the league. The Chiefs are that fly for the rest of the league. They think they have them every single time. The Ravens were prepared to go for two. It never even entered their mind that they didn't even get the six. They were already on to the two. You saw Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield just took his team on an incredible drive down the field. Just marched them down the field. Touchdown. They did everything they were supposed to do. You can see it on Baker Mayfield's body language. The Bengals feel like, man, we got the Chiefs. Oh, we beat them. We told you this was our house. Wait, there's a flag. Wait, hold on. What? It's a penalty. They get another chance. The Broncos had a 35-yard field goal yesterday to win. They had a 35-yard field goal. And they lost. For those of you that believe in win probability, their win probability was like 98%. They lost yesterday. And then you got to look over and you got to see that quarterback running around with his hands out, flying, making paper airplanes. It was a lot. You got to understand why the rest of the league hates you just a little bit. You got to see it. You win all the time. You got to get it. You got to get how they feel this way. Listen to this.
I went back and forth because normally, you know, a game ends like that. I would probably, you know, play the replay. I can't. Hurts too much. Too painful. I mean, that was a gut punch. I would ask Bronco fans, my first question of the day to you, can you recall a more gut punch, heartbreaking loss than that? How far back do you have to go?
That was brutal, man. It was just absolutely brutal.
And this is the thing about it. It's not just the how they lost. It's the who they lost it to. If the Broncos had lost that game to the Saints, it wouldn't have felt that way. If the Broncos had lost that way to the Ravens last week, it wouldn't have been that same gut punch. It was the fact that they lost to you. It was the fact that they felt like they drafted that quarterback and they brought in that coach for that moment. We're going to go down the field. We're going to win the game in Patrick Mahomes' house, and we are going to get the last laugh. And they didn't.
Will Lutz backs up, takes two steps to the side, says he's ready. An attempt of 35 yards for the win. Snap, placement, kick on the way. It is blocked. I don't even know what to say. I really am at a loss for words. 35-yard field goal blocked with 1 second to go, and Kansas City is going to get out of here with a 16-14 win over the Broncos.
Do you guys know how hard it is? I know this life because I chose this life. Do you know how hard it is to get one of us in a position where you're speechless, where you have nothing to say? You are sort of trained to talk when there's no talking going on because silence is the worst thing that can happen. My man was flummoxed. He thought they had it. They had finally defeated the evil empire. And they lost again in a heartbreaking fashion. How many times? He can't keep getting away with this. He's beat you with the left hand. They block kicks. They had one game, their quarterback dislocated his knee, didn't matter. Backup came in, threw for 5 touchdowns. They're helpless. There's nothing they can do. This is the Patriots 2.0. The Chiefs are the Patriots. The Broncos are the Jets. The Chargers are the Dolphins. That's what this is. You remember for 20 years, you saw Tom Brady do this in the exact same form and fashion, and now it's the Chiefs' turn. The energy has been transferred. The torch has been passed. They own you. They keep telling me that Pat wants to get ownership in this and ownership in that. I don't know how he can expand himself past all these business ventures. He's got part ownership in like 8 different NFL teams. Got some in the Broncos, some in the Ravens, some in the Bills. It's embarrassing at this point. How are you letting this man buy up all this real estate? Coming up on the other side, today is a special edition of the Chiefs Kingdom. They're going to have maybe the most popular NFL player in the world. Travis Kelce is going to be a member on the Chiefs Kingdom show. We'll let Mitch talk about that. We'll also get Mitch's take on yesterday's thrilling win over the Broncos. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.